Good morning. We, for those men that were there yesterday, thank you for showing up and for the breakfast. It was a great time of fellowshipping with one another, of, I don't know, just the companionship and getting to know one another better and the time spent. And you know, time spent with ones that you loved is always time well spent. Regardless of what you're doing, it's time well spent. And for those of you who weren't there, I want you to know that we had an excellent time. And the next time we get together, men, you're welcome to join us. And those songs, the last song, "When the Roll is Called Up Yonder, I'll Be There," that sounds like a very stubborn song. Really, I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, it sounds like we've made a decision and we want to stick with it. When the roll is called up yonder, I'm going to be there. No matter what this world puts on me, I'm going to be there. And the invitation song, "I am resolved to enter the kingdom." Ah, resolution. I am resolved to enter the kingdom. I tell you, I've made a decision. I have resolved something myself. What I've resolved is that I can make a stew. Yeah, I can. I can make a stew based on a need that sometimes I might get hungry. I might get hungry, so I can make myself a stew. But there's some things I got to do before I can make this stew, you see. First off, I have to know that I can make the stew. That's where it starts at. But then, I've got to want to make this stew. Right? I can do a lot of things, but actually deciding to do what it is that I can do is a big step. And then after that, You have needing to find ourselves a recipe, a good recipe. So we start off with knowing that it's something that I can do, and then it's something that I'm going to do, make this stew. And then I got to find a recipe. And you know, I can think back and say, man, I remember going over to Pete and Tammy's house one time, and she had an unbelievable beef stew. It was just some kind of good. And so, what I'll do? Well, I'll call her up. "Tammy, you can make a mean beef stew, and I want to make one myself. And I know that I can, and I'm going to, but I'm going to need some directions. I'm going to need your recipe. Could you pass that along to me?" And so, of course, she would give me that recipe, and that'd be good. And then the next step from that is that I got to understand that I can't be proud about this stew because it's really not my stew. It's my need, but I relied on Tammy for the information of how I get to make this thing. So it's not something that I can do within myself. I'm going to need help. And one step after that is, as I start gathering these things together, I go to the grocery store and I get all the fixings, and then I take them home and I take out the beef and I cut up the carrot and scrape off the side of them. I mean, I could just throw everything in the pot, but I got to make sure everything's cut up all the carrots right and skin the potato, tomato, yeah. Let's call the whole thing off. Anyway. So you start cutting up all these things, cutting up the beef, making sure everything's just like you want it, and whew, man, it's getting to be hard work already. I spent a lot of money and I've got a lot of time invested into this, and it's hard. And then you put it all in there. You make the little gravy and you put it in, and it's man, it's taking a long time. Okay, but I've decided. I've already decided before that I'm gonna finish this stew. So I'm doing it. So I continue on. And then, as I look at all these things that I've got, I want to make sure that all these ingredients that I have, and the things that I'm putting into the stew, I want to make sure that they are good, that they are quality. I don't want potatoes with like, you know, nasty places in them, or the eyes hanging out of them, or, you know, I don't want beef that's been left out and turning all brown, whatever. And, you know, I don't want all that mess, and I don't want to put too much salt, and I don't want to put too much pepper, and I want to make sure I got everything, and they all quality ingredients, and that everything is just right. Because I want this to be a good stew. And then after we've cooked all this stuff up, oh, I sit down and I've got myself a stew. And you know what I'm going to do with it? I'm going to say, Amanda, baby, I made a stew. Come on in here and sit down with me. Pete, Tammy, y'all come over too. Y'all part of our family. Come on over. We're gonna have ourselves a stew. I've spent all this work on it, and I want you to share in what I've done. And then after we get done, we eat our fill, and we got more left over. So what am I gonna do? I'm gonna say, Robert, Carol, you want some of our stew? We got some left over.
Sounds delicious.
All right. I put a lot of hard work into it. I got enough left over for some of your family, and I got some left over for some other people's family. And so I want to share that good stew I've got with folks that are around. And that's my decision. That is the decision that I've made. Now, you may be asking, Bill, what in the world are you talking about? Well, I'm talking about stew. That's right. I'm talking about stew. And you know what? I'm so convinced that I should be making a good stew. I not only think that I should be making one, I think that we all, for our own good, should be making stew. And if you'll turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, I'm going to show you why. I'm going to show you why we need to be making stew for our own good and for the benefit of others around us. I'm going to start reading chapter 1, I'll just read from the beginning. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these things He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the world. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now, for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. In your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To begin, we have to understand that we have a need. Peter writes this to those who have a like faith, who have received a faith the same as His. That faith is based on something. It is based on the fact that you were once lost. There is a deep need in humanity right now that we live in a world that is lost. And we have a need. The world is hungry for something. And God says, or rather, God has provided for us the knowledge in Jesus Christ in verse 3, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has granted to us life and godliness through the knowledge of His Son. He's given to us the knowledge of His Son. That is the good news, the gospel that saves souls. We are lost and dying, and we need Christ and the power that He has over death and sin. And through that good news, through the knowledge of Jesus Christ, we see that God has granted to us everything. Everything pertaining to life and godliness. You see, that's the stew. That is the stew that we're trying to build. That's the stew we're trying to make. The need is, the world is hungry. And what we've got is an ability to have something that can feed them. Everything pertaining to life and godliness. So, He has granted to us an opportunity to partake in His divine nature. And not only that, but to escape the corruption of this world. Doesn't that sound like heaven? Doesn't that sound like heaven? An escape from the world. Opportunity to be partakers of His divine qualities. It sounds very heavenly. A time when we'll be perfect with God and there will be no sin. But this isn't in heaven. This is here on earth. We now have an opportunity to have God's qualities reside in us. And that we can be free from the corruption this world puts in front of us. That is a great power. That is a great gift that God has given us. That's His promises to us. And we want to share that with the world. So, as we begin making this stew, this everything pertaining to life and godliness that we're trying to build in our own life, we have to begin with one thing. We have to begin with our faith. We have to begin with our faith. And our faith is that we can have whatever it is that we're focused on. We can have. We have the opportunity and the power to create life and godliness within us. That's our faith. But you add to that, Peter says, moral excellence. That also means resolution. The word in the Greek means resolution, to be resolved. That's why I find it very ironic that you, where is Mary at? That you picked out, I am resolved to enter the kingdom. Because that's the second step. Our faith is, we know what we can do, but this is having a resolution that we're going to follow it. That not only can I do it, but I'm going to do it. That is part of my walk. That's where I'm going to go now. I am going to make this stew. But see, that's not the end of it. Because we have to find out how to do it. So we got to have knowledge. We got to have the recipe. And so Peter says, you add to that knowledge. You add to your resolution the knowledge that's going to get you where you need to go. And then you have to focus on the fact that it's not within me. That's the self-control. As you look at self-control, we have power. We have power to do things in our life. We have the power of choice. And we can be prideful about things in our lives that we do. And it's not hard to be prideful about the accomplishments we make or the decisions that we make or the things that we've done in our life. It's not hard to be prideful. And God gives us that choice. We can do that if we want to. We can choose to be whoever we want to be. But He asks us to be better than that. He asks us to humble ourselves before Him, before His mighty hand, because it's not our recipe, church. It's God's recipe. We cannot follow things that are set by my own heart, by my own will, by things people tell me. If it doesn't come from God, then it's not going to be what you're trying to cook. So we got to come to the Word. We got to find out what God's message is. And then once we have the knowledge, once we have that self-control, that we humble ourselves before God, knowing that it's not us, it's all Him, then we start on our walk. We start going out, doing the things that we need to do, being the kind of person that we need to be, and it's not going to be easy. As Pete said, it takes endurance. It takes a lot of heart into it because you're going to get beat up in the world. As a Christian, it's not going to be a walk in the park. It's going to be tough sometimes. And whenever it is, you need to have perseverance. Perseverance is the ability to keep your eyes on the prize regardless of the situation around you. You keep walking regardless of what's around you. We have to persevere. Once we've put our feet on this path, we have to be firmly set in our heart. You could say we have to be stubborn. Resolved that I am not going to move. This is where I belong. And then we have godliness. Peter says to add to your perseverance. When things are getting hard, when situations in life are difficult for you, be like God. Add to your perseverance godliness. Because if we want to look how to really endure, yet again, as Pete quoted in Hebrews chapter 12, we need to focus our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, because He's the one who wrote it, He's the one who walked it, He's the one who finished it. And we need to add His character to us, godliness. And so far, this whole decision-making process, from realizing that we have the power to follow God, all the way down to putting His character in our lives, is all internal. That's all us. That is This is my decision making, my walk. But Peter says it doesn't end there. It does not end there. Because we add to that godliness, brotherly kindness. That word is Philadelphia. It is in Greek. Philadelphia. Philo means love of. Delphia is the brothers. Brotherly love. Yeah, philosophers. Philo, love of knowledge or wisdom. Sophia. A love of wisdom. Whatever we're looking at here in this brotherly love, this is talking about our relationship with the people in our family. And I'm not talking about my mom and dad, my brother Terry, and my sister Angie. What I'm talking about is my Christian brothers and sisters. Peter is saying that we need to have and share our lives with everyone around us that is part of our church family. If you've got Christians in your life, then you need to be showing them the love that is due them as being your brother. You might not like them, but you know what? You gotta love them. As you're growing up, you may have a brother and sister or brothers and you have misunderstandings in families and you might bicker and quarrel sometimes, but the fact of the matter is, you're family. And families, you don't choose your family. God has chosen our family. I was born into the Williams family. I had no choice about it. None whatsoever. Little Jacob, whenever he arrives, he has no choice about who his mom and dad is. And you know what? Whenever we become a Christian, we can't choose who else is in the church. God does that. And we are to treat our brethren with the love that our Father in heaven wants us to. But you know, there's one step beyond that. Because it isn't just for us. The stew we're making, this everything pertaining to life and godliness is not just for us. We are to share this with the world. So Peter says, add to your brotherly kindness, love. Love is not self-serving. It is not taking care of our own. It's not me getting mine. Love is me selflessly serving anyone who is around me. Because my love is not based on what I think. My love is based on God's love. And God's love gave His own Son so that a lost and dying world can have an opportunity to be saved. That's love. Giving your own for those who don't deserve it. That's love. And I don't even understand it. I can't even comprehend how great God's love is for us. That He would sacrifice something so precious to Him. For ungrateful, untrusting, willful, stubborn, no good wretches like me. I don't even understand it. But what I do understand is that God cares just as much for those people who are out there lost and dying as He does for me. And I am not in any superior position simply because I've chosen to follow Him. Because it's all His grace. And none of my own doing. Now that does not mean that we don't have an obligation. Because Peter says, if these qualities are yours and are increasing, then you will neither be useless nor unfruitful. So he follows this up with, not only do you have to make stew to begin with, but you have to continuously make stew for everybody. And whenever you've made enough for the people on your block, you got to make enough for the people in the city. And when you make enough for people in the city, you got to make enough for people in the state. And then you got to extend that to the people in the world. This is ours and increasing. This is not something that we attain and then we sit there. Oh yeah, I'm here. I ain't got to do nothing else. That's not the way God wants us to be. We have to be continually adding these things. And you know what? Whenever we get down to love, like I totally understand love and do it perfectly myself, but you know. Whenever I get down there, then I got to go back to step one again and remember what my faith is. And then after that, I have to add to that virtue again. And then I have to add to that knowledge even more. And I have to add to that self-control and perseverance and godliness and brotherly kindness and love again. And whenever I get to the end, I start all over again. So it does not matter if you were just came up out of the water or if you've been a Christian for 50 years, we always have growing to do. So whenever I say that it is for our benefit that we make stew, what I mean is that it doesn't matter what area of your walk you're in. We should always be challenging ourselves in these qualities. Because Peter says, if you want to be useful, if you want to be fruitful in the kingdom, then you continue to do it over and over and over and over again. Now the question is, are you willing to make good stew in your life, to share with your family and to share with those who are around you? Are you willing to do that? It's a lot of hard work. It's a lot of sacrifice. But it's your choice. God has given us that. It's your choice. If you have not been increasing in these things, or if you've been beat down and you need help with your perseverance, we as your family are here, and we want to help you. But if you have not even begun your walk yet, if you have not even begun your path, your Christian path, if you haven't been baptized into Christ, there's no better day than today. No better day than right now. And then afterwards, we'll go eat some food. If you have any problems that you need help with, need any prayers, any requests, come forward as we stand and sing, "I am resolved to enter the kingdom."